Hello, hello, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of Wild Virginia Virtual Coffee Talk. I'm your host, Katie Keller, Publicity and Outreach Director with Wild Virginia. And today I am very excited. We have Stephen David Johnson on the line. He is a longtime supporter of Wild Virginia in our work and has also led conservation photography outings throughout the years, which I know were very popular pre-COVID. He does a lot of work on photographing vernal pools, frogs, salamanders, beautiful imagery. He was also a contributor to one of our online film festivals that we launched after the COVID-19 pandemic took us all virtual. So today we're going to discuss more conservation photography. And Stephen, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Excellent. I always like to start. What interested you in conservation photography? Give us, you know, the whole spiel on your journey.
Okay. I grew up in Western New York State, in a very rural part of the state. So I loved, from a very early age, going out in the woods, exploring ponds, looking for salamanders, frogs, and fireflies. And as I started to become interested in photography, first as a teenager, and then later on studying it formally in college, I started to bring my interest in the natural world along with me. But that really solidified during my time teaching as a university photography professor at EMU. When I moved to Virginia in 2005, I started keeping a photo blog as a way of communicating to folks back in New York about this new place I was at. We had moved across the street from the North Fork of the Shenandoah River. So I started photographing the river, the surrounding environment, getting to know the National Forest, and started posting those images. So at first it was nature photography, images of my family. Pretty soon I started to encounter some of the environmental issues that are part of this region. There was a move to start hydrofracking nearby in Berkton, and I became aware of that fight. That led into an increased awareness about pipelines in general, natural gas extraction. And as I started to become more aware of these environmental issues, I started to turn my attention to using that photography of the natural world to advocate for environmental preservation. And as part of that, became involved with many different nonprofits that do this type of work, including Wild Virginia.
Sure. And that goes in line with our campaign so well, trying to get folks inspired by seeing all of these wonderful little critters and trying to get them interested in more of the grown-up advocacy piece, as I call it. So tell me a little bit more about these vernal pools that you photograph. These temporary bodies of water from seasonal rains and snow melts. Everyone can check out some of Stephen's photos at stephendavidjohnson.com. Wonderful, wonderful imagery. Some of my favorites to gander at. So tell us more about those.
Yeah, I should probably mention that Wild Virginia was an important part of that. I started going on field trips with Wild Virginia probably a decade ago, and some of those led me to Maple Flats. I was able to study with Mike Hazlett, who is considered the vernal pools expert in the state of Virginia. And this was part of a longer-term project trying to understand salamander diversity in this region, because as a lot of your listeners will know, it's salamander biodiversity that's really the story that's here in the central southern Appalachian region. But part of documenting salamander diversity is understanding the full range of their life cycle. And for a number of salamanders, the types that are considered to be mole salamanders, those that live underground most of the year and come out to breed only at really specific times, they complete their life cycles in these temporary ponds in our forests. So I knew that to tell the story, I needed to get underwater. And for the most part, that doesn't mean me literally underwater. It's usually me crouching by to the side of a pool, occasionally with waders on in some of the larger pools. And I'm using underwater equipment to document salamanders and frogs breeding in these temporary ponds.
Excellent. And You know, not that I love the ephemeral video too. I encourage everyone to check that out. It really does take you to another place in another world. All of this is so wonderful, but it sounds like everyone finds their niche. All of these photographers, they find the animals or the ecosystems that they're really drawn to. Do you ever see yourself getting into photographing other species? Is that something that you've been doing kind of in the wings?
Oh, absolutely. One of my daughters says, "Oh, Dad, you've got your latest animal obsession." I think whatever I'm photographing, I tend to fall in love with it and want to learn everything about it. That's included recently jumping spiders were one of my big COVID projects because I would see them in my office, in my backyard, and it's another type of creature that has so much diversity. I've photographed beaver families on the North Fork of the Shenandoah. I love birds. I love snakes. Right now, I've been documenting the development of gray tree frogs in the pond in our backyard. So yeah, I'm interested in a wide range of subjects.
I love that. And jumping spiders, just in time for the Halloween spooky fall sort of season. Those critters are a little bit scary or more.
Yeah, although I say, you know, with jumping spiders, they're probably the least scary of spiders. You know, they're great big eyes, kind of fuzzy. If I've ever been able to convince any of my arachnophobic friends that a spider might be okay, it's because I've shown them baby jumping spiders.
Oh, so cute. Well, so sort of diving into photography and photographing different species, I know that one thing that we touched on a few episodes ago on Wild Virginia Virtual Coffee Talk is conservation photography and what that looks like for birds, foxes, some of these larger animals. Tell us a little bit about ethical conservation photography and what those practices would look like for some of the species that you're photographing.
Yeah, so for a lot of the species that I'm imaging, ethical practices look pretty different than, say, with birding. So if I was to try to photograph a frog from 20 feet away underwater, I wouldn't have any photos at all. So whenever you're doing underwater photography, you really need to be fairly close. That means you need to be paying a lot of attention to your subject. So when I'm working with underwater gear, I'm just constantly scanning my environment, making sure I'm not bumping anybody. If I end up actually getting in a vernal pool, I'm very careful. I walk slowly, deliberately. If it's at night, I'm constantly scanning with a light to make sure that I'm not damaging any fragile environments. The other thing that I think about in relationship to vernal pools is making sure I'm not transmitting disease. So if I'm going out and actually stepping into a pool, I'm disinfecting my waders beforehand. So I clean them in a bleach solution, a mild bleach solution, to make sure that there are no amphibian diseases that can be transmitted between different watersheds. Other than that, I'm paying a lot of attention to the creatures that are right in front of me, trying to tell if they're becoming stressed at all. And you know, if they are, then it's maybe time to back off. Because you can get a great photo, but if your creature in front of you is suffering because of that, then it's really not worth it. So I'm trying to tell a story about something that's important to preserve, and to do that requires being close. But it's also really important to just pay attention to what's in front of you.
Yes, understanding that balance, it sounds like. So you're a professor at EMU. Tell us a little bit about what you're teaching there and if it incorporates some of these advocacy principles or ethical conservation photography principles.
Absolutely. So I'm a professor of visual and communication arts at EMU in Harrisonburg. And I teach courses in photography and digital media. So that includes a full range of things like Photo One, advanced Photoshop. I even teach web design. But about 2013, I started a course in conservation photography. So it's a semester-based class, which is pretty unique. There are very few of these around the country. So I get together with a group of students. We partner with nonprofits. That's even included Wild Virginia in the past. And we work on telling stories visually. So we get out in the field. Students can pick issues that matter to them. They go out in the field in small groups, bring back images, and compile them into a story that can assist our partners in their own advocacy work.
Wonderful. And I think teaching that next generation, that's another important pillar of Wild Virginia's, as you're aware, ensuring that they understand conservation practices to keep our planet safe and try to save it for future generations. So before we close out, I'm so hoping we can get back to having you lead our photography outing. I know that you're a very busy man, but I know that was one of our most popular events through our outings and education team was that hike, that photography hike. So before we close out, any new favorite hikes that you're willing to share with our listeners today? I know you mentioned Maple Flats. Any others that you'd like to share?
Yeah, related to vernal pools, there are a number of places that I really enjoy. Elizabeth Furnace, which is up in the Fort Valley area on Massanutten, is a great recreational area. It's not a long hike, but it's a fascinating place to explore and a pretty unique environment tucked away up there in this little valley in the middle of Massanutten. So that's an area I really like. There's an area right in my neck of the woods that's called Beach Lick Knob, which doesn't really get a lot of traffic, just a lot of dirt roads that lead to trails. But again, a really beautiful area if you want to get off the beaten path.
Those are my favorite types, the hikes where I feel alone in the woods and can really travel to another place. So that's wonderful. Well, Stephen, thanks for joining me for this episode of Wild Virginia Virtual Coffee Talk. Everyone who's listening, to learn more about conservation, ethical conservation photography, you can check out our podcast a few episodes ago with Lori Cash. To learn more about Stephen's work, please visit stephendavidjohnson.com.
Thank you for tuning in for this episode of Wild Virginia Coffee Talk. For more information on our campaigns, please visit www.wildvirginia.org. Stay wild, Wild Virginians.